Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Thank you, Dave. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, despite the fact that in Maryland and D.C. and other places that are in this, four or five state area, there are so many people without power from a couple of storms, not only the one on Friday night, but the one from just the other night. So we're praying hard for them and hoping that somehow, some way, folks have their iPods and can enjoy the show. So glad you're with me today. What a show. First Tuesday, the day before 4th of July, too. Oh, my gosh. First Tuesday means artists are welcome to call in. That number, 323-843-6172, and tell us about your gigs. It's okay. You just pitch away. That's what First Tuesdays are all about. Then 2 o'clock, just about an hour from now, Eastern Time, of course, Ken Navarro comes your way, and he's going to be talking about the test of time and how that's going to play out at Ram's Head in Annapolis this coming Sunday. Can't wait. There's going to be a lot of folks getting together, a lot of friends that we haven't seen for a while, so it'll be hot. Yeah, hot. That's the operative word, right? Oh, especially for the folks that don't have power. As is the usual case, let's start things off with something that's a little bit classic, shall we? Freddie Redd, Wigglin' from 1959 on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you.
Delicious. Washington, D.C. based David Buck and his consort, and yes, he is related to Johann Sebastian Bach. Got it in the bloodlines, I'm telling you, on keyboard there. And we do have a call. We're going to get to that 602 area code momentarily. David Bach from his 2005 release, Deep Breath. Yes, the Police song wrapped around your finger. So beautiful. Just to let you know, if you are in the region, Jazz at Pratt Street, free events happening in Baltimore. David Bach is going to be there. DavidBachMusic.com has more information. He also plays frequently at the lovely Sullivan's right there in downtown Baltimore. And we heard from Freddie Red Wiglin from Music from the Connection from 1959. Short, sweet little story. So cool. This was music composed for Jack Gelber's play of the same name. Jack had a concept whereby he wanted jazz musicians to freeform on stage and maybe play some small parts. Freddie Red, who you heard on piano, played some of those small parts in Europe, but Freddie convinced Jack it would be a better idea if he had original music on a soundtrack, as it were. So Jack said, okay. Freddie did all right from that. Jackie McLean on alto sax, Michael Matos on bass, Larry, if I can read my own writing, Larry Ritchie on drums, the original score, the music from The Connection, and that is called Wiglin. 602 check-in on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Who is this?
Hey, Trish, this is Pete Gitlin calling from Phoenix, Arizona. How are you today?
Pete, how are you? I'm so glad you called.
I couldn't be better, and thanks so much. I really appreciate the message. I was sort of running around doing other things out here. I guess it's cool here in Phoenix. It's only going to be like 102 today compared to what we're seeing on the East Coast. We're having a cool day out here in the desert.
Hey, you know what? You are right. And who would think that this day would ever come? Here we are without all this power, and the temperatures are soaring. And meanwhile, yeah, Arizona looks like a paradise right now.
You know, it's crazy out here because you'll sometimes hear the weatherman say in the morning, and say, we've got a cooling trend. It's going to be 105. You should never be allowed to say cooling trend and 105 in the same sentence, but we hear it out here all the time.
That is so crazy. Pete, I am so impressed with Amplify. No kidding. And I can't believe that you're one of those people in the music industry who made such a radical departure from where you were to where you are now. That is the coolest thing in the world.
Thanks. So I really tried with this new CD to push the boundaries a little bit. You know, the smooth jazz genre is a great one, but I wanted to just push it a little bit. So there's some songs on there that sound a little, they've got some rock, some distorted guitar, there's some country, but I think it all holds together as a work. I hope so anyway, and I'm so pleased and thankful to all the people out there for helping keep it alive and supporting it. So it's just been great. I'm so excited.
Well, I'm excited for you because you have so much courage. I mean, you were a Fortune 500 vice president who stepped out in what, 2007 it was?
I did. That's true. You know, I had spent many years, you know, I raised a family, a couple of kids, and it's hard to do that as a musician. I look back and say, I wonder if that was the right call, but you know what? It worked well. And then in 2007, we had a parting of the ways, and I decided to start doing music. I did have a day job for a couple of years here over the last years, but I just made another big decision, and effective at the end of this month, I am full-time music, and I've got a music business that I'm putting together that I'm sort of going to keep on the down low right now, but I'm very excited about it and hope to use both my musical experience and the fact that I've been calling at C-level, CEO, CFO for 30 years or so to drive this business. So stay tuned for some more exciting announcements about that.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we're going to have to give you an hour so you can talk about all this good news when you can share all of it.
I would love to. Hey, and I hear you want to play If You Say So. Thanks so much for playing that song. It's got Cindy Bradley.
I know.
She's playing flugelhorn on that cut, and she just kills it. I am just absolutely in love with that woman. She is such an amazing player, and I was really, really honored to have her participate in my little project here. So it's great stuff.
Well, you know what, Pete? I love the idea that you're doing what you're doing because, you know, you were, back in the day, you were playing rock and funk and fusion, and you just gravitated to jazz, and you pulled all of that together, and it came out so wonderful. You've got a regular gig on Thursday night, do you not?
That's right. I play every Thursday here in Phoenix. We've been running a jazz jam session at a restaurant called the Pita Jungle in Chandler, Arizona. And then I've got a big concert coming up August 19th, Sunday, August 19th. It's the Jazz in Arizona party. It'll be my fourth consecutive August party, and we've sold it out every year. So all the Phoenix listeners, make sure you watch for it. It's at Casimir's in Scottsdale. I've got some of the top players in the Phoenix area joining in with me. It is going to be an absolute blast. We're doing songs from Amplify, but we're also we're doing a Jazz and the Beatles set, which I've been working on. So we're going to be doing a few jazz versions of songs like Penny Lane, Nowhere Man. I can't remember them because I'm talking to you on the phone, but it's going to be we're going to have a cool Jazz and the Beatles set, and then an Amplify set as we sort of roll out the songs from the new CD. So that's August 19th at Casimir's in Scottsdale.
Oh, Pete, you know what? That just gives me a buzz because you need to partner with Ken Navarro so much. On the Test of Time, his new CD, he's got a Beatles medley, and if you haven't heard it, you're going to trip.
No, I've heard it. I love Ken's playing. A little intimidating because he's so darn good. But, no, I've definitely listened to it, and he's tremendous. So I would love to talk to him about that sometime.
Well, good. He's going to be on the show at 2 o'clock. Well, actually, Eastern time, next hour, I'll just translate that to be. But that would be so cool because, you know what, you and he have a similar kind of vibe. And trust me, you are formidable on that guitar. And people are going to find out momentarily because I'm going to play the track after I talk to you. So anytime that you have a little bit of free time when things are finished up and you can freely talk about this next step for you, we're going to make sure that you get booked so you can talk about it.
You got it, Trish. Hey, thanks so much for the support. I got to run, but I'll be listening to If You Say So.
Oh, wonderful, Pete. Thank you so much for calling. God bless you. We'll talk to you soon.
You as well, Trish. Thank you.
Thank you.
I know.
Bye-bye. Pete Gitlin, oh my gosh, I'm so excited about this CD. Amplify is what it's called, and this is Pete along with Cindy Bradley on flugelhorn, If You Say So, on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Don't forget, artists, to call in. I love this first Tuesday. Good gravy. That youngin' can wail. Hi-oh! Raul Midan. Oh, my gosh. Let me tell you something. I don't know what was going on when I was working at WSMJ when it was still on the air in Baltimore. And Lori Lewis was the program director and so adept at being able to figure out who needed to be on the air and who didn't. So she was all over Raul Midan. And we had quite a run of playing his music. And to find out about this gentleman is so awesome. Now, I just got this track in the past, 24 hours. It was sent via his email blast. I'm a little unclear about the circumstances. What I know, I think, is that the song is called Flying High, and it is from Vintage. I don't know if this is going to be – I did some research on this today. I don't know whether this is going to be a new CD or cold from his few CDs that he's had out in the past several years. But in any case, I've heard that song 4 times now. Each time I love it more and more. Flying High, Raul Midan, who was doing his European tour. Man, is he ever. He's coming back to the States in August. Just a little background for you. The end of Spike Lee's movie, She Hate Me, Adam and Eve and Eve, that was sung by Raul Midan. And he's really the kind of person that you do not forget. Bill Withers thought so, because Bill was adamant about having Raul in his Still Bill documentary, I guess you could call it that, yeah. Raul was born in New Mexico. His twin brother, Marco, is a NASA engineer. And what happened was they were babies and they were put in the incubator and not enough protection for their eyes took place. So Raul and his brother Marco are both blind, but Dad and Mom were absolutely clear about the path each of their children should have, and they went through some rigorous studies, no excuses. And Raul, he studied with some formidable folks. I mean to tell you, he learned well his lessons, and he is so adept at knowing what sounds good. He's got a pretty much state-of-the-art facility. He's now living in Maryland since 2008. He's got this beautiful studio at his home, and he doesn't have to have a sighted engineer. So I just think of him, and I think of that voice. It's so soulful. And the path that he took, path that he could have chosen to take, but the success that he's had, it's just remarkable. Sonny Rollins, I'll string along with you with that island feel from Dancing in the Dark, 1987. Sonny, bless his heart. He's doing his thing in Italy and France, coming back for the Detroit Jazz Festival in August. That particular track, Clifton Anderson, trombone, Mark Soskin on piano, Jerome Harris on bass and guitar, and Marvin Smitty Smith on drums. Oh, my goodness, to see Sonny Rollins in concert. Oh. Girls, my girls who live in Detroit, see if you can hook a sister up in Baltimore, okay? Because this bill this year in Detroit is just going to knock your socks off if you haven't seen. Pete Gitlin, so glad he called in. I'm going to give you that number, too, by the way, 323-843-6172. This is First Tuesday, and artists are welcome, especially this hour and during the last hour of the show. The hour next is going to be reserved pretty much for Ken Navarro, so he can talk about the Test of Time and his gig this Sunday at Ram's Head in Annapolis. But that track you heard from Pete with Cindy Bradley, if you say so, is from Amplify. Can't tell you enough about Pete. Left a Fortune 500 company where he was vice president in 2007 because so passionate was his intent on guitar. He was playing rock and fusion music and funk when he was a teen and in his 20s. And what he did was he brought jazz into the flavors. He mixes it up into a hybrid stew. And I think I tasted a little bit of cinnamon. Oh, that was just Cindy. Anyway, you know what I'm saying. He really knows how to blend things really well. And I'm just so happy that he's taken this new step in his career. So we'll have Pete Gitlin on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy coming up sometime, maybe in a later July or maybe even early August. And Cindy, by the way, is coming up in August because we want to make sure we talk about her Philly gig on the way and also her Blues Alley appearance. Yeah, we're excited. Here we go. We're going to play some more music. Ken Navarro comes your way in about 20 minutes or so. In the meantime, how about a little Wallace Roney? How about it? From According to Mr. Roney in 1997. This is his take on the splendiferous Blue in Green. I think you'll like this. Thank you.
Something cool I'd like to order. Something cool. It's so warm here in town, and the heat gets me down. I'd like something cool. My, it's nice to simply sit and rest a while. Now I know it's a shame I can't think of your name. I remember your smile. I don't ordinarily drink with strangers. Well, I usually drink alone. You were so awfully nice to ask me, and I'm so terribly far from home. Like my dress, I must confess, it's very old. Just right for the heat. Save my furs for the cold. A cigarette, I don't smoke them as a rule. But I have one. It might be fun with something cool. Time I had a house with so many rooms, I couldn't count them all. I bet you couldn't imagine I had 15 different beaux who were begging, babe, to take me to a ball. I bet you couldn't picture me the time I a memory that I had, one I almost forgot, 'cause the weather's so hot and I'm feeling so bad. Stop to buy me something cool.
This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you.
my goodness, that is so lovely. And you know, the more that I get into Ken Navarro's CD, you heard Message in a Bottle, the reworking and the breath of fresh air, and God knows we need it in this state right now, okay, that you hear for each of these 12 selections on the Test of Time is so amazing, in that when it's just Ken and his guitar, the core of the meaning comes to life. Mostly all of us remember the original song, Message in a Bottle, Staying in the Police, and Caroline No, Beach Boys, Brian Wilson's beautiful composition, Days of Wine and Roses, Allman Brothers' Little Martha, Europa, my gosh, Wichita Lineman, Glenn Campbell. We all remember what those songs were like with vocals, and then Pat Metheny, too, didn't really have a vocal. But the basic meaning that I'm trying to convey is that when it's just a guitar and an artist who knows what he's doing, then everything else gets stripped away except for your experience while you're listening. Just so beautiful. I have to tell that to Ken. Maybe he's listening now. He's going to be calling in momentarily, but that's from the Test of Time, and we're focusing on Ken and his music and this really cool endeavor happening at Ram's Head in Annapolis on Sunday. So put a bookmark in that thought. Let us tell you who else we heard. Sergio Mendes, Brazil 66 from 1967. Lonnie Hall and Janice Hansen, those vocals just kill me. Night and Day. On this particular Equinox CD, by the way, this was the second album for Sergio and company, three Jobim songs, a João Gilberto song. I practiced on that. And if you ever saw the movie, oh, God, this movie back in the day, years ago, it was in French, Catherine Deneuve, The Umbrellas of Cherbourg. Unbelievable movie, and Watch What Happens was from that particular movie. And on the Sergio Mendes and Brazil 66 album, you'll hear a version of that too. So just to let you know a little background. And we also heard, too, Wallace Roney, Blue in Green from According to Mr. Roney, a two-disc set in 1997. The new one, by the way, is called Home. Got a glowing review on jazzreview.com, and we'll talk to Wallace again down the road. It was a really good interview that we had some months ago, and I just wrote to him this morning to tell him I miss him. And I've missed this man, too, but it won't be for long because I'll see him on Sunday at Ram's Head. We just heard Message in a Bottle from Ken Navarro, and by golly, here he is. And wait till I tell him about the little conversation I just had with Pete Gitlin, who called on First Tuesday. Ken Navarro, you master at work, you. How are you?
I'm doing great, Trish. How you doing? It's nice to hear your voice.
It's nice to hear you, too. Ken, I'm just going to tell you off the top. Pete Gitlin called because we're encouraging folks, actually this past hour and then next hour, if they have any gigs to call. So, Pete just got finished telling me that he's looking forward to being at a festival in his home state of Arizona, and he's going to do a Beatles medley.
Oh, that's too much.
So he was talking about it, and I said, Pete, you know what? You should network with Ken Navarro because, you know, if you haven't heard the beautiful Beatles medley he's done on A Test of Time, and I hear him pause, and he said, oh, Trish, Ken Navarro is really intimidating.
Well, he should do his version, and he should do it. That's, you know, there's plenty of people who intimidate me, too. And sometimes I find out later, you know, that there are people who are listening to me, you know. So you never know.
Well,
it's good to have. It's really important, I think, to have, you know, bars that you feel are higher than where you're at in order to keep, so you keep growing. And I know I'm a big fan of a guitarist named Tommy Emmanuel. And
yes.
I have a fan who is a tour bus driver, and one day I got a tweet from him saying, "Hey, me and Tommy are on the bus and we're listening to Dreaming of Trains," and he's like blown away, you know. And I
wow.
was like, that made my day, you know, because it's like, you know, if he just said he was listening to me, that would have been enough. I'm not that familiar with Pete's work, but I certainly know his name, and I'm sure he'll do a great job with whatever he decides to do with that medley. Whatever Beatles song he picks, there's enough of them to choose from, that's for sure.
Oh, my God, that's for sure. And the cool thing about Pete, Ken, and I told him there is a similar spirit. There is a sweetness of spirit in Pete, and there is that with you, and it just empowers your music all that much more. He left a Fortune 500 company in 2007 to pursue music. So that's pretty courageous.
Right. Isn't that amazing? I know, yes. Exactly, yeah.
Gosh, and here you are. Holy cow, you've been busy. I've been so happy to read about you being here and there. And I'm glad you've been...
You know, it's funny. I was home just long enough. I was home, basically been home one day in the last 2 weeks, and it was just long enough to be here on Friday for 104 degrees and then that unbelievable storm.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So it was, I was quite a ride to the airport on Saturday, early Saturday morning, driving around all kinds of obstacles and lights out everywhere and stuff. It was, do you have power? I take it, obviously you do.
Yes, we were very, very fortunate, but the folks who don't have power, they won't have it for maybe until the weekend.
It's hard to say. I know. I think they're smartly trying to understate how quick they can do it, which is good. You know, I remember learning a long time ago that axiom of never always promise less than you think you're going to deliver. So when you deliver it, then people are pleasantly surprised and happy. And I think the power companies from some of our most recent power outages may have learned that lesson. So I hope they're being conservative and people won't have to wait so long because it's only Tuesday now, you know. So,
you know, I think I like that philosophy, Ken. I think
yeah.
I'll use that.
I just, you know, it that way you can surprise yourself too, you know. So,
wow, that's great. And you, the reason you just got back, I mean, my gosh, getting your daughter situated is one thing, which is great, because your two children are doing just fine and dandy, are they not?
They're doing pretty good so far. Yeah, they both graduated from colleges this past spring. My daughter from undergraduate, and my son after he graduated undergraduate a few years ago, and he worked for a number of years, and then he went back to grad school, and he just graduated and started a new job yesterday. And then my daughter, we moved her to San Francisco. Naturally, she had to pick up a city 3,000 miles away for her first job. And, you know, it's funny because she could have, the company she's going to work for, she could have picked one of any of 12 cities. But she's a big, big New York. She loves New York. She spent the last couple summers interning there. Yet they didn't have anything in New York, so she picked San Francisco, which is another, you know, really interesting and great city. It just happens to be very far away.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we did that. And then I came home Friday, sort of caught my breath, and then I went to Detroit to do two separate living room concerts, one on Saturday night and one on Sunday afternoon, and then flew back very late on Sunday night started up, hit the ground running yesterday morning.
And Ken, I have to say this, and I've been meaning to do this for a while in either, you know, a public fashion or our communications back and forth. I'm not sure who started these living room events, but since you've talked about it and you've been doing them for a while, other folks have picked up and have absolutely run with it. And my gosh, isn't this the way to go in 2012? They've been really successful for you, haven't they?
Yeah, they've been a good. I mean, they've been an augmentation to the regular kinds of gigs I do, you know, festivals and clubs and that sort of thing. But they're you know, they started. I'm not sure exactly when the concept started. It might have been 7 or 8 years ago, or maybe even longer, but they started primarily in what would be called the folk music scene or the acoustic music scene, whatever you want to, however that's labeled, and
right.
Where people would, you know, basically host on a regular basis
some acoustic artist, and then people would come and usually pay a small but a set fee, or they would just contribute whatever they could, and everybody would bring food, and it was very informal like that. And I read about that, and I had been getting calls for a few years from different people who kind of inquired about that, but not knowing what to call it, you know. Would it be possible, like, for example, somebody saying, we're going to be celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary, we're both big fans of your music, would it be possible to somehow have you play, and so on. And eventually, you know, when I learned more and more about the folk scene or the acoustic music scene and those living room concerts, I just said, well, you know, how, maybe we could create some kind of a thing where, since there isn't a structure like that existing, but there are fans all over the country who would be interested in doing that if they could afford it, you know, create a fee structure where I still was paid fairly, but they could afford it, and then they could invite family and friends, and it would, you know, they would put on a party, basically, where they got to have, you know, one of their bucket list things happen. And it's pretty cool to be somebody that's on someone's bucket list, that's for sure, you know.
Yeah.
And so we had the last couple of years, you know, I've done them here and there. And then this year with the solo guitar record, it just seemed really perfect for that sort of an event. So we've made more of a concerted effort, and I've done, I guess, three of them so far this year. There's another one scheduled, and two or three other ones people are still trying to put together. And I really welcome the opportunity. They were wonderful experiences this past weekend. It couldn't be a better thing than the solo guitar show, because people really got it. I'm batting 4-for-4 now in terms of, I've had 4 solo guitar gigs, and each one ends with a standing ovation. And that doesn't happen all the time, and it's not what I expect. But people are getting it, and really getting it, and understanding, you know, and feeling it, and appreciating what it is that I'm doing as well, you know. Although I always feel like it's not about the technique, it's really about the expression and the emotion of it. But it does, people do enjoy when they see somebody live and up close like you do at a living room concert, where they can see all that stuff happening on the guitar at once. And even non-guitar players appreciate what musically is going on. Most people have never seen anybody play solo guitar that way, so it's a cool thing. And again, back to living room concerts, that it's the perfect, you know, thing for that, because they can see everything I'm doing, and I can see each and every one of their faces, even if there's 70 or 80 people like there were on Friday night. I see everybody, you know. Whereas if I'm playing, you know, larger venues, and I'm in the dark, there's a spotlight, the audience can see me, but all I see are those 10 people near the front, you know.
Right. And Ram's Head will be just perfect for this, because it's one of those intimate venues, and it's an award-winning intimate venue.
We're really lucky to have that so close to us. Everybody wants to play there because the sound is great. There's not a bad seat in the house. And in the case of my solo show, you know, normally when a band sets up on that stage, the people who are to the left of the stage might be behind a piano, or, you know what I mean, because there's a lot of people on stage. But in the case of my solo show, everywhere is a great view. And so it's – but, you know, for me as a performer, I always have a good night in that room. I always – enjoy the way it sounds. I always feel like the audience is really involved in the performance in terms of the vibe that goes back and forth between the stage and the audience. So, you know, I always look forward to playing there.
And actually, Annapolis is a perfect place for you, because people really gravitate to exceptional music in Annapolis. There's a lot of people who are educated. They do well. They don't fritter away their time unless they know that somebody who's playing there, if they didn't know on a given date that you were going to be playing, for example, there will be people, if it's not sold out, and I bet you it will be by the time Sunday rolls around. The fact of the matter is, if they're going by and see that you're playing, they'll drop everything to go, because there's a way that you play. I was telling people before, when you weren't holding on via the phone, when you hear what you are able to do on that guitar. Folks know the music. They know Brian Wilson, the Beach Boys. They know the Allman Brothers' Little Martha song. They know the Beatles medley. Every single one of those songs is known as far as the vocals are concerned. But when you get a hold of that song, because it's just you and the guitar, it strips away everything else so that the listener can just enjoy the feeling of the song. Bringing back the memories, nothing else is in their way. They can just zone out because of what you do.
Well, thanks for saying that. I that's my goal, is to, you know, create a very intimate experience. For me, playing the solo shows is sort of a trip through my own past, and each of the songs represents a really important musical and emotional milestone in my life. But I also think that many of these songs represent that in their own way to many other people.
Yes.
And I try to go on a journey each time, and then have the listener be able to go on a journey, you know, of their own along with me. I was really took a lot of time just deciding which songs to include in this album, because I felt like that was so important. And I have suggestions, and I keep getting suggestions all the time from people about, well, what about this song? What about that? And sometimes they're good suggestions, but more often than not, they're songs that might resonate just with them, but they don't necessarily resonate with you know, a lot of people. And so I wanted things that, you know, definitely were resonated with me, but also, you know, went beyond just check this song out. I wanted them all to be things that, at least on this album, that people really connected with. So, you know, that's my goal, is to create that journey for them.
Well, here's a little story, and I'm going to tell you this story, and I know that there are people who are going to go, what? But this is what hearing your take on Little Martha by the Allman Brothers did for me today. Just this day, you put me on such a path back to the past. I went back in time, and I got to meet the Allman Brothers when I was a teenager.
Wow. Oh, wow.
And moreover, I wrote a poem for Dwayne Allman. In the poem, I expressed to him that I wanted him to be my first. This is where my head was, Ken. Yes, I don't care if I share this or not, but you brought back those times at Steel Pier in Atlantic City, New Jersey.
Oh, wow.
When the Allman Brothers were playing, I went all around the pier. I heard Little Martha in my head the way you're doing it. I was on a back road in Tennessee going to the Jack Daniel's distillery. You did so much for me in the past 24 hours when I was re-listening to your music. It was a movie.
That's great. Well, that, I know, because we all, I think for people who music is an important part of their lives, and God, I can't imagine how somebody could live life. It'd be like not eating, you know?
Yes, yes.
But for people who music is an important part of their lives, I mean, these so many of these songs, they mean much more than just the music, because like you said, I mean, you're talking about an emotion, and also not just the memory of it, but it's almost like you're back there for a moment, and you're that age again, you're that point in your life again, which, let's face it, I mean, the points we're at in our lives right now are special, because they're going to pass too, and we're going to move into the next place after that, you know, and so it's so great to have a way to trigger those memories, and especially if they're triggered in a strong way, almost like how a smell makes you just, God, you just go back 40 years sometimes, you know.
Exactly, Ken. You know what? That is true, because there are songs. Can you think of a song now that is meaningful to you when you have an experience? You go back and you keep bookmarking this thought in your mind. There was a special occurrence in your life, and you remember exactly the place, maybe what you were eating, what you were smelling, who you were with. You have them, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm not even, sometimes they're surprising to me, because I'll hear a song that I haven't heard in a long time, and I might not even really remember it I might not have even thought of the song, but it'll come on the radio, or it'll just be in the air somewhere, and it'll bring back stuff I also have not thought about in years. There was a song, and I think it was called Brandy. Do you remember that song?
Yes,
with
Looking Glass.
40 hits. I love that song, but that song means so much more to me than just that song, because it makes me remember a group of people that were like my family. My first couple of years in college, I mean, it was just like an extended family, and I haven't seen hardly any of them in a long, long time. And I heard that song, and it just made me think of each and every one of them, and a special feeling that I had then that I'll never have again. I mean,
right.
I've moved on to other special feelings, and it's nice to have my own real family too, you know, which was just whatever, you know, just a concept in my mind, you know, 40 years ago.
Yeah.
But you know, those people were really important to me, and that song, you know, brought back all of that just in 10 seconds, you know. So that's one of the things that I think is very powerful about music.
Oh, yeah. And now, of course, for some of us, we'll be thinking all day about My Life, My Love, and My Lady is the Sea.
Right. You've got a great memory. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, my gosh, that song was a trip. And it's so funny because when you're doing these songs, and there are 12 songs on the Test of Time, and each one of them was important to you, and, mm-hmm. you know, for those of us who are of a certain age that remember those songs the first time around, or those who can appreciate those old wise souls that can appreciate that music, like my son who's 20 and absolutely loves each of these songs on your CD when it was done the first
time. Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. The first time around, and then he hears you playing them and he goes, oh, wow, because it rekindles in him what he felt when he heard the original.
Right. And I know it's interesting how our kids are, it takes them sometimes getting a little bit older, but there's an appreciation. If something truly does stand the test of time, I think that's one of the ways you know if it stands the test of time. If another generation or two, you know, relates to it and connects with it, and you know, it's always great to hear that. I know both of my son and my daughter are very involved in music. My son actually playing music, but not professionally so much as a very strong avocation. But my daughter, you know, listens like crazy, and she knows all these songs, you know, as does my son. And it's kind of amazing to me because that's like I say, I think that's part of the test of whether they really are something that deserves to be given another interpretation and really, you know, another way of creating a feeling from that song that's unique to now and unique to how I hear it and how I feel it.
Well, you know, let us be clear about this. Many artists through the years who have decided to do a song that is beloved, they've decided to interpret it their way. Sometimes that was wise, sometimes
mm-hmm.
that wasn't wise.
Mm-hmm.
But when you came along now and showed us this amazing journey of having the melodies and the bass lines and the harmonies and even the percussion on one guitar with no overdubs, that's pretty special. And that's almost like a one-man orchestra. I'm really looking forward to seeing this live on Sunday to see how the magic unfolds, because people, as you said, when they are in your living room concerts, they're not used to seeing people play this way.
No, and it's neat. You know, obviously there's a lot of people in our generation who picked up the guitar at one point or another, and they're the most they get it the most because they know how hard it is to do it. But
yeah.
But what's cool to me is that the people who don't necessarily have much experience playing an instrument, or maybe no experience playing an instrument, I think the familiarity of the songs brings them in, and then the kind of emotion that I'm putting into it. And, you know, after 19 records of writing my own music, I have a pretty strong idea how to arrange stuff, you know, and how
yeah.
I can create you know, arrangements. I usually just do it with many instruments, but I have to limit how I did it now to just one instrument. But, you know, people see that, they get it, they really appreciate it because it's a unique thing. There aren't very many people who can do that. But I think at the bottom line of it all, it always comes back to trusting that who you are and how you feel this music, that other people will feel it that way too. And I mean, all along the making of this record, whether it was the, you know, the picking of the songs, then the creating of the arrangements, then learning to play the songs, because sometimes I'd come up with an arrangement, I knew it was great, but I couldn't play it, you know? So there was another stage where I had to figure out how to play it. How am I going to play this so that this thing I hear in my head will come out? But I all along my goal was that these arrangements, the song wouldn't get picked, or the arrangement wouldn't get picked, or I would decide it wasn't worth all the effort to play it, to learn how to play it, unless I felt that when it was all done and I was able to perform it without giving a thought to the technique, if I felt like that the end result would be that the listener would hear the song and go, oh, I really want to go hear that original again. I forgot about that. If that was what I thought was going to be the net result at any stage of the process with a song, then I would throw it out. Because my absolute mantra was that when people hear my version of Message in a Bottle, or my version of Just Like a Woman, or my version of Days of Wine and Roses, or my version of Day Tripper or Imagine, I wanted them to say, I need to hear that 50 more times, that version, you know. I wanted them to be enamored with what I'd done, and so that it was a Ken Navarro, pardon me for putting it that way, but talking about myself in the third person, but a Ken Navarro song they were listening to, you know. And so, you know, I know that on paper it could be called a cover album. I mean, 19 albums, you know, before this where I wrote all the music. So I'm aware that it can be technically called a cover album, but I never thought of it that way. I thought of it as picking these great, incredible songs that were of utmost emotional resonance with me, that I could then be me on, you know, that I could, and playing solo guitar, there's no bigger palette for a musician to, you know, work with as a guitarist than playing solo guitar, because, you know, especially because I'm a jazz musician, so I'm constantly improvising and constantly fiddling. So in live performance, you know, there's things I'm doing that aren't on the record. It doesn't mean that I'm throwing out, you know, the arrangements by any means, but I just keep going down the road with each one. And the live performance is just an extension of the fact that I just keep working on them. I just keep working on them, you know, and discovering new things. And many times, Trish, it's so funny, I'll make a mistake, at least according to the arrangement. And that mistake will lead me to someplace really interesting and exciting that'll end up being, you know, incorporated into the arrangement. So I just keep having that open jazz musician's ear. And it makes the live performance, you know, that much better, I think, because, you know, if you want perfection, you can listen to someone's record. If you want to be in the moment and see somebody taking chances, you know, you go see them play live.
Oh, Ken, you are so right. And honestly, people who go to see an artist of your caliber, they know that the event, no matter how you shake it, is going to be great. But they want to hear the heart and soul behind the technique. So
right, absolutely.
When you open yourself up to improvisation, I had a program director once, through the many years I've been doing radio, say to me, Trish, don't be so hard on yourself. People don't necessarily think about you making a mistake. They don't know. They just want to hear you.
And they want you in the moment. They want to feel like you said something that you haven't necessarily said before or said the same way. And
yeah.
I don't know how they know it, but I many, many years of performing, I've learned, and I'm sure you have too, I've learned that even people who know very, very little about how music works, they can sense, almost like vibrations coming off of you, the person, they can sense whether you're going through the motions or whether something fresh and exciting and on in the moment is happening. They can just feel it. They can sense it. And I think because they can sense you sensing it, and it, I don't know, as human beings, we, you know, not to sound too spacey about it, but I think there's just energy that people, that can be in the air, literally, and people pick up on it, and they don't have to know anything about how music works to know that they're experiencing something that's happening this night and this night only. And that's always my goal, is to get above and beyond the technique. I mean, that's why I spent hundreds, well, really thousands of hours working on this music and practicing it. And I put in 2 hours of practice already today. And I did a TV. Because to me, it's about, when I get in front of an audience, it's about being able to forget about all that stuff so that I can concentrate on when I get to that line in Wichita Lineman, I need you more than want you and want you for all time. I want to feel that. I don't want to be thinking about where my hands are supposed to go. I want to be singing that in my head and communicating how that line is making me feel that night to the people who are listening. That's what all the practice is for. It's not to impress somebody. It's to be able to release the real energy and the real reason behind the music.
Well, it's interesting that you should talk about Wichita Lineman, because now the association that people have with that song, Glenn Campbell, of course, did this beautiful Jimmy Webb song. And Glenn, you know, life being what it is in 2012, we have all seen so many people pass quickly, people that we have taken into our hearts and souls. And we don't know how much time Glenn Campbell has left, because he's in advanced Alzheimer's.
He is. He's not on tour anymore?
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure about the tour. Was going out a little bit, but he had to have his daughter on stage with him in order to prod him into the next the next tune, or remind him about some things. His short-term memory is certainly affected, and his long-term memory certainly is.
Yeah,
he doesn't know how much time he has, but when you hear the song that you have done, the way you loved it comes across in your version, and oh my God, I mean, tears are shed anew, because here we are back in 1968, and
that
freshness of the moment is there.
Yeah, that's an amazing song. I mean, I was not a big Glenn Campbell fan per se. Although, you know, I'm a bigger fan now, because I didn't know when I was younger how many huge songs, huge hits and songs that I really loved that he played guitar on, because, you know, a lot of people don't know outside of the music business that he played studio guitar for many, many years before he broke out on his own. And so he's on a lot of those Beach Boys songs we love. He's on Mr. Tambourine Man. He's on Frank Sinatra songs. I mean, there's a lot of music you go back to that you loved when you were younger. And sometimes, you go by that double Jefferson Airplane CD and you go, well, of all their best hits, and you go, man, what was I thinking? this isn't really holding up, you know. Some of it is, but it's not enough, you know. And with Glenn Campbell, I remembered how much I loved Wichita Lineman. Right from the very opening, Carol Kay, who a female bassist who was just a complete unique existence in 1963 in the recording studio. She came up with da da ba ba da, boom, the opening bass line. But I love that Wichita Lineman from the beginning note to the end. And I thought, let me check that out. God, I hope I'm not disappointed. I was so afraid that I would hear it and go, no, I don't know. I was just young, I guess. But I heard it, and it was just as good as it always was. Probably better, because now the lyrics meant even more to me, having lived 40 more years.
Exactly.
You know, and it's just an incredible song. And so it was an interesting thing to come up with that arrangement, because it's a big, you know, band. It's got many musicians, including an orchestra. and some special electronic instruments for the time. And so the arrangement, I couldn't try to be big. I mean, it's one guitar. So how do you the most important bigness is not the loudness or the fullness of the original arrangement. It's the emotional depth of the original arrangement. How do I get that? And I'm really feel good about how I got it. I think that in some ways, I mean, I captured something even more than what the original had. And there's something about the transparency of the single guitar where you can hear every little element. And I really let the very interesting chords that Jimmy Webb, the composer, came up with, I really gave them their due. And sometimes when you have a big arrangement, you know, with lots of parts and strings and all that, sometimes certain elements of the music get a little bit covered up.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that was a challenging one to do. But in the end, I think if you have this strong connection with the way the music makes you feel and you believe in it wholeheartedly, I guess kind of like a comedian believes in a great joke. You know, they can sell it to an audience that may not even think it's all that funny, but they can tell that he thinks it is or she thinks it is. That's kind of a bad analogy. But, you know, I feel that you have that feeling that you will find a way to make that song come alive in whatever instrumental format you put it in, because you're always going to be going for that emotional brass ring, so to speak, and you'll get it. You know, may take longer, but you'll get it, you know.
And it's the same thing with a salesperson, male or female.
Mm-hmm.
If they believe in the product, there is a real good chance that you're going to sell it, because there's nothing more hollow than somebody selling something that they could care less about.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what you're really trying to do then. If I play, you know, and again, I mean, this was, you know, not to repeat myself, but with the test of time and the selection of the songs, I just felt like, you know, unless I felt 110%, you know, I just didn't see how I was going to be able to do everything that was going to be necessary to do to get it to the place where I could go on the stage at the Ram's Head and share it, you know. So it just had to feel that way in spades in order to make it happen every step of the way. And it took me I started this process last January, so it's been about 18 months now. And I did my first solo show in Japan in May, and have done four more since in the States. Ram's Head will be the fifth one in the States. So I'm really at the beginning. But it really has taken me, you know, 16, 17 months. It took me about a year to be able to do the record, and then I continued to work because I wanted these songs to be not to be etched in stone the way they were done on the record, but I wanted to be so comfortable with them that I could just continue to take them to new places. And again, I think that's the jazz musician in me, you know, wanting to have that kind of flexibility.
And the person who you are, thank God that you have allowed yourself to evolve as opposed to staying in neutral
right.
ground where it's nice and safe.
Well, you know, there are a lot of artists in that are umbrellaed under the smooth jazz moniker that, you know, I think they've spent so long trying to do something the way they think somebody else wants it. It's pretty hard to then suddenly decide that you're going to be an artist and you're going to pursue, you know, what your soul says you should do. You know, you don't just decide to do that. And so I've for quite a while now, you know, the last 5-6 years, I've been on that path. And so the test of time is a very natural next step in that journey for me. It means that I trust my musical instincts and my emotional instincts enough to present just myself with one guitar this way. And it also means that, you know, I see that you don't live forever, and you really should do what your heart says you should do.
Amen.
You never know what's going to happen. I'm going to turn 60 next year, and I, you know, you don't know. I feel great.
I
do, you know, but you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
And, I hear
you. You know, trying to chase after, you know, whatever you think, you know, might be what people are going to like. I think you have to believe in what you like. And you know, after doing this as long as I have, I trust in that. I trust in that what I like
will you know, the audience will laugh, you know, like a comedian. You know, they will get it, you know, because I get it. And maybe that's a little egotistical, but I think that's part of what an artist does. They're supposed to take the audience with them. They're not supposed to try to do a testing of the audience and figure out what they want to be fed. You know, you're probably going to find out they just want what they already know. That's probably what you're going to find out. And I don't know how you do that. That's the equivalent of a salesperson trying to sell a product they're just ho-hum about, you know.
And gosh, Ken, not egotistical at all, because of the fact that, you know, why would anybody want to be another version of somebody who's already been?
Right.
You have stepped out in such a way. You know, we're at that age where we are thinking about a legacy to leave behind, you know?
Right.
This is the absolute truth. So, you know, when you're hearing something, and we're going to hear it momentarily, when we're hearing a song like Wichita Lineman that had a history with us before, and now we're hearing it again, and it brings back our lives in perspective.
Yep.
Here we are at this point in time, all of those memories that we've had as we've made this journey, and we don't know what this future is going forward, but we've got this bookmark in our lives right now, and it means everything to be reminded of how cool we've lived.
Right, right. Yep, that's right. And you're right, that legacy is, and you know, in the end, sometimes many of the things we chase in the course of a lifetime don't always have all that much to do with how, what really matters to the people around us, family, friends. In my case, you know, I'm lucky enough to have this other family of people who want to hear what I'm doing with my music.
Yeah.
But you know, it's you owe it to all those people to do the right thing, I think. And, you know, when radio was around, I was just talking, you know, both of those Living Room Concerts I did in Detroit were for people who discovered me because there was a very popular smooth jazz radio station in Detroit that has since gone.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always been thankful for the fact that any radio format that includes the J word is amazing to me. You know, I mean, it really is, you know,
yeah.
And that it could be so popular and thousands of people would come to festivals that with artists that were being played on these stations, including myself, is just a miracle to me. But having said that, you know, a lot of artists were just chasing what became a more and more narrow definition of what would be played on the radio. And you can do that for a while, and you can try to, you know, find where your music intersects with that. But you can't ever allow that to be what to define you as an artist, because then you're really not an artist. You're more of a workman or at best, you know. You're kind of creating fodder for somebody else, you know. And I don't know. Like I say, I just think back to that word legacy. There's not a lot of legacy in that.
And I
feel strongly that my last 3, 4, 5 records, you know, are something that whether they become very popular now or not, or later or whatever, I just feel like they are worthy of being discovered 10, 20, 30 years from now. And that's, you know, I'd rather strive for that than just what's the easiest thing to get the most people to go buy it at Amazon in the next 3 weeks, you know? Because for me, the best music is stuff that I just keep discovering new stuff. You know, I listen to it and it's always new. I put it away for years and come back to it, and it's all I listen to for a month, you know, because it's that good. And, you know, and on the new record, I tried to honor a few of those kinds of musicians like Pat Metheny and Carlos Santana, because those are two guitar players that have just meant a lot to me for my entire life, since, you know, Carlos, since I was 14 and saw Woodstock, you know, and heard him in that movie, and then Metheny since I was like 20 and the first time I heard him play with Gary Burton. And
yeah.
Ever since then, those two players are people that just continue to inspire and influence and just, you know, remind me to keep putting the bar higher and higher, because that's what they do. You know, and that's that, again, those two players are
legacy players, you know.
Yeah.
They really have, you know, people are going to be listening to them, you know, 50 years from now, and I hope hundreds of years from now, too, but nobody can know that, so.
Well,
only our great-great-grandchildren.
And you are in their midst, and not only because of the depth of artistry that you have, Ken, but here's something about you. You deeply care about the people who come to see you more than most artists, and you don't ever shortchange people when you come to see them, because you know what it takes to stop the work, to make the appointment, to get the sitter, to get the money saved up, to make the trek, use the gas money, and then show up to see you and honor you. So in turn, you honor us, and we're going to get honored right now because we're going to go back to Wichita Lineman so folks can hear that, whether you've heard it originally by Glenn Campbell back in the 60s or whether you're hearing it for the first time. Doesn't make any difference. You're still going to feel it. This is Ken Navarro and Wichita Lineman from The Test of Time on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you.
Ken Navarro, how can you possibly explain that here you are on hold and I'm playing that song, there's a chat room full of people, and I just break out into spontaneous tears.
It sounds funny to say this, but that's great to hear.
Oh, my God.
I don't want you to cry, but I really, I mean, that's whatever the emotion is, that's what it's all about to me. And it's interesting for me to listen to that because I have not actually listened to the recorded version in many months. And so I'm of course, I try very hard not to be a critic of, you know, I'm criticizing myself. But I'm noticing like six different places that I think I do better things in those places now because, as I was saying, the arrangement continues to expand. You know,
right.
Each song, I mean, that's the beauty of these songs. They lend themselves to hearing things in the music. Even with the hundreds of hours I've spent on each song, I'll hear something and go, oh, my God, I got to bring that out more. How can I bring that out more? Or I'm always singing the lyrics. And a lyric will hit me in a way that it just never hit me before. I have to be honest, until we did an interview a few months ago when the record first came out, that line that I quoted from Wichita Lineman, I always think of you now when I get to that part of the song because you mentioned that. You said that line, it's so amazing, the one about I need you more than want you and I want you for all time. But the more I thought about the line, every time I get to that place in the song now, it's hard for me. I choke up just a little bit because I can't really allow myself to go that as far as I might if I was a listener, but I feel it. I, having been in a relationship, I'm going to celebrate my 40th anniversary next year, and it's a relationship that could, you know, we got married so young, we were so stupid. You know, at the age of 19, you're not very smart. Yeah, you don't know that much. You're entrusting your feelings might feel right at the time, but it may not actually be the right thing to do at the time. And I was very lucky, and so those words really mean a lot to me. They're not just as I'm sure they do to you. That's why you mentioned though they weren't just a nice play of words. It was something that in less than 10 words summed up so much. You know. Which is always amazing to me about great pop songs. I hate using that word pop because it sounds like you're saying light, but it's precisely because they're popular songs, and when somebody like a Jimmy Webb comes along and can say that with so few words and in such a poetic way, you just go, God, that is so cool. You know, we don't have too many songs like that anymore nowadays.
That's right.
And when I think of those lyrics, and Jimmy Webb himself said something really cool about the song as far as what the words. He said it's a song about ordinary people having extraordinary thoughts, which I also just think is really an amazing way to put it, because we all have extraordinary thoughts, and that song is like saying, yes, everybody has these kinds of thoughts and feelings, and he was trying to express them in the persona of somebody who works on the telephone lines, you know, spending a lot of time alone in the middle of Wichita, you know, somewhere, you know. And if you've ever been to Wichita, Kansas, I've played there many times, it's a city, but you don't have to go very far to feel like you're in the middle of you know, the Midwest, and you're just on your own, you know.
I've
driven in and out of there many times. I know what it feels like.
Just flat land.
Yes, just flat land. That's right.
Oh, wow. And that will put a different spin on hearing the song now, because, you know, you just gave me an image of somebody being high up on a pole and looking all around him. And the way that he feels close to, you know, having his oasis is thinking of this person who, as the line says, and I need you more than want you and I want you for all time. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that is an incredible line. I'm surprised I didn't think more about it when I was first, doing the arrangement. But there was so much to think about, trust me. I had so many, I tried to think of these things not as musical problems that need solutions, but I try to instead think of them as musical questions that need answers. That works better for me.
Oh, yeah.
Because
that's right.
I get quite so intimidated, you know. It's more like, because every question you figure has an answer, you just have to be patient enough to find it, you know, one song I've been thinking, not song, but one artist I'm really thinking a lot about now and trying to find the right song to do a version of is Prince, as another artist I just absolutely adore.
Oh.
I just got to figure out the right song. Wouldn't that be cool? Nobody does that. People don't interpreting his music that way, and they should, because his music is so interesting and lends itself to like all good music. It doesn't have to be just heard with Prince singing it and the way he'd do it. So I've got to think about it. I'm going to come up with something.
Oh, now, you
really
know what?
Cool.
All of these folks who are listening right now are going, huh, maybe I can help Ken.
Yeah, well,
because,
feel free.
Oh, that would
Facebook,
be wonderful.
You could tell me one of the things that I didn't do on the record that I really wanted to, and believe me, I went through so many songs trying to find the right one, was to find a Motown classic. And there's so many of them, but,
yeah,
you know, just because they're classics doesn't mean that they're going to translate to solo guitar.
True.
Sometimes they would just be too hard, you know. Sometimes they were had already been done to death. And sometimes, even though I loved them, they just didn't, I don't know, they just didn't come across on solo guitar particularly well. But so I'm still kind of looking for that. I'll find something. Ain't No Mountain High Enough was the one I really wanted to do. But I don't know, sometimes you revisit these things with a fresh palette in front of you, and it just shows you what you should do with it. But try as I might with that song, I just could not find the right way to turn it into a full solo guitar piece. But you know, it's one of those Motown songs I love so much. I just wanted to do, but couldn't quite find a way to do it.
Revisit the Temptations with both David Ruffin and Eddie Kendricks, and
right,
revisit
exactly.
the Four Tops. And go back to David Ruffin, hear him in your head when he does "All I Need." All I need is just to hear you say, "You forgive me, baby." And
right.
think of that song, because I just heard you playing in my head that song.
Well, I will. I'll go back. And many times what it is that the original version has made such a strong imprint that you have to reimagine it. You know, like Wichita Lineman, like I was saying before, if I had tried to make it big, you know, if I had let the original arrangement make me feel like I had to make it loud, big, and strong, and all that, I wouldn't have come up with what I came up with. I had to re-envision it, backing off everything but the emotion and the original structure, and then rebuild it with kind of a new vision, you know, and then it worked. But and so that's probably what I just haven't quite gotten to that place yet with, like Reach Out, I'll Be There. That's one of the songs I was
Woo!
Interested in. There's a lot. There's so many of them, you know.
And Ask the Lonely. Oh,
God. Yeah. Oh, I know.
Oh, my God.
I'll keep, well, you know, I haven't stopped. You know, I it's about time for me to introduce some new songs into the repertoire. And so I've been so, you know, focused on having this 60 minutes of music be where I want it to be. But I think I'm about ready to now expand into more music.
And it has to happen organically, Ken. It has
yeah,
to happen
I think so.
For you, you know, to just be in a situation where you're not necessarily thinking about it. You've got music on in the background and something just hits you over the head.
Right. I really think that's true. You know, and sometimes, you know, it's like when you can't remember something that, you know, it's on the tip of your tongue. And then 10 minutes after you stop thinking about it, you remember it, just like
yes.
that, you know.
Yep.
So sometimes it's important to rack your brain and go through all that. But then it's also important to know, well, just leave it alone. Let it simmer. And see if it starts to taste more like it's supposed to after you let it cook for 4 or 5 hours without standing over the stove trying to stir it up and make something happen. You know, so that making something happen thing, if I wasn't oriented that way, then I probably wouldn't have expanded into all these different areas. But at the same time, being that way, you have to know when to back off of it, because, like you just said, you have to leave room
for magic to happen. You can't assume you're going to make it all happen, you know.
Well, here's the bottom line. Look, you know that ancient expression, a watched pot never boils?
exactly, yeah.
So
right.
That's what you got to keep in mind with making this, and not make yourself crazy, because these songs will come to you. And while I'm thinking about it, you know, I just had an idea, because, you know, let us refer to Love Colored Soul back in 2005, The Meeting Place in 2007, The Grace of Summer Light 2008, Dreaming of Trains 2010. Wouldn't it be cool? Just something for you to toss around, Ken.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see a box set of those CDs.
Ooh, that's a neat idea. Those are really the ones that I was referring to. Is
yes.
That I think have the longevity. I'm not to say that this things in all of my previous work before then that I
absolutely.
Think stand. But yeah, that's an interesting idea. And these days, you know, coming up with a way of packaging music that's older, because it's so hard now for people to. I mean, obviously, you don't just go and buy a CD anymore at a store. It's hard to find any place that carries any, you know, quantity of music where you could do that. You certainly can't find those five albums all in one store anymore, I don't think. Maybe someplace, but not like it used to be. So that's a smart idea to think about packaging them that way and make sure they don't end up just being on iTunes and the usual suspect places.
That's right. And then, you know, around Christmas time, it could be, you know, if you were going to do a Kickstarter campaign, it would be really cool to have the Test of Time plus 4
mm-hmm.
as
yeah,
a really
cool.
good prize, you know.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I
so,
know. We'll be at holiday season before we know it at this rate. So
I know.
It's hard to believe that at the moment, but I couldn't believe it was July 1st on Sunday. I just went, what?
I know.
Yeah.
We're 7 months into 2012. Tomorrow is the 4th of July.
Yep, I know.
That's crazy. And here it is. I can't believe an hour has gone by.
Well, it's always fun to speak with you, Trish. And your insight into the music and your support of the music are very appreciated by somebody like me. And so I thank you for spending the time with me as you have numerous times. And going into depth, that makes it very special.
I'm really glad that you feel that way, and I'm glad that I have an artist like you to discuss these kinds of things, because, you know, some people are on the level to get it, and some people don't necessarily feel it the way you do, and this is why you've had these successes. Oh, my God. I mean, what? Your first album was, what, 1980-something? You've been doing this for a long time.
I recorded it in 1989, yeah. Yeah, it feels like yesterday in many ways, but I lived in L.A. when I was putting the very first record together.
Yes.
And then right, we started the record label Positive Music Records, and we moved across country from L.A. to here. I remember, I mean, when you're young, well, I got married at 19, and I continued to do somewhat, you know,
wow.
Whatever you want to call it, risky things, but it all worked out, so, you know. Got to trust your instinct. I think that's really important too. And so if somebody listening has an instinct to come to the Ram's Head, trust it.
Yes, that's right. Showtime.
My little plug.
and you know what?
Instincts.
We're going to certainly make sure that they get well. People have been getting that suggestion from me for the past many shows, but you know.
I know.
1990, The River Flows, go back in time to Ken Navarro when he did that CD. So now we have a title for your package of CDs, The River Continues to Flow.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. That's kind of how I was saying I look at the songs on the Test of Time. You know, I like that better than a journey, like a river that you just keep exploring where it's going.
Yeah,
that's great.
The river keeps on flowing.
Well,
yep.
Anybody who was listening to the show today who comes down to the Ram's Head, please make sure to come up and say hi after the show. I always spend time talking to everybody. Anybody who wants to talk at the end of the show, and I'm looking forward to seeing you there too, Trish. I know you're going to MC it, which is going to be that's an honor, and that'll be really great to have you there.
Well, it's just good to be able to be in your presence to see the love that you're going to get in the room, because there's going to be some people that I haven't seen for a few years that are coming Sunday, and just to see, you know, these all these diverse faces looking at you in absolute adoration and getting the vibe of this show in the most perfect venue possible. It's just going to be a treat. So looking forward to it, Ken.
Yeah, well, I'll see you there, Trish, and thanks again.
Thank you, Ken Navarro. And we're going to close you out. We're going to go back to little Martha from the Test of Time. Yeah, God bless you. We'll see you on Sunday.
You too, Trish. See you then. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Ken Navarro, oh, gracious. It is always such a high to talk to Ken, honestly. You know it is, because you're feeling it. This song, when Dwayne Allman did this song back in the day, and it's just hard to believe that he passed away in 1971, taken so suddenly, to feel the way originally, I don't know what to say, but when Ken had this particular track on the Test of Time, it was just special. I was not a groupie, mind you, let's make that clear, but I just here I was, a long-haired girl in high school with beer chains around my neck. I never drank beer, but I thought it was cool. And smoking a cigar, yeah. And I remember Greg Allman said, "Hey, here's a little girl with the cigar here, get?" And he was always so happy to see me, and the guys knew who I was, and Red Dog was the road manager. So hearing this track from Ken Navarro brought all of that back. Pretty strong to say that, but this is true. If you've never heard the song, it's a treat and a half. If you've heard the song before, you'll love it anew. Little Martha from the Test of Time. Ken Navarro on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you.
girl. You look a little restless. Yeah, well, you need to come on with me, because I'm going where the fun is. Come on, don't get lazy now. Just a little bit up the road. Just around this.
But there is nothing to be.
my goodness. What a show. Lord have mercy. I just love it. I am not going to say any names. It's all right. But I just got so tickled because here's Ken and I were talking about, you know, back in the 60s, and I'm a little bit older than Ken. So, you know, we just remember so much, and oh, sometimes it's just hard to figure out what we do remember. Oh, and sooner or later, we're going to say, geez, we're starting to sound like old fogies. So here, her name will be nameless in the chat room. I'm just playing that song, and the nameless one says, gosh, this song is reminding me of something back in the 70s for some reason. I said, that's because it is from back in the 70s. Hee-haw! The main ingredient, happiness, is just around the bend. Oh, I love the chat room folks so much. You have no idea. God bless each and every one who takes the time. And some people do not wish to be named. That's for sure. They have anonymous little tags, guest 17,000 or whoever. But the fact is that there are some beautiful, devoted people who come to this chat room each Tuesday and Thursday, and I appreciate them so much. I have to tell you about Cuba Gooding Sr. When you think about this, you know, we're talking about time and about age, over 40 years in the business. That just is so staggering. And I just went to his Facebook page. I'm absolutely amazed. He's going to be part of not only Sweet Soul of the 70s. I know that that's the Time Life disc set that he pitches on QVC, but he's also got a poster on Facebook. He's going to be part of this huge 70s extravaganza. And then, I've talked about this a couple of times, he's going to be on that Soul Train cruise in early 2013. It's sold out, ladies and gentlemen. It is sold out like a couple of months ago, sold out. Wow! And then I find out that production is starting this year for the Cuba Gooding story. So I think that Junior is going to be part of this. We all know Cuba Gooding Jr. has done well in Hollywood. Oh, my. But it looks like Dad and Son are going to collaborate on that. I don't know exactly the specifics, but I'm really psyched. And now, there was a rift for a while, but now it's Cuba Gooding Sr. and the main ingredient, which is very cool. Because once you have that gilded throat, it's hard to imagine anybody else being part of a legendary group like that. And that was the song. That was the Shiggity back in the 70s. Let me just make that clear to you. We just went crazy in Philadelphia over that song. And folks are still going crazy. You talk about the test of time. Ken Navarro was speaking about it. And let us tell you that if you can go to Ram's Head on Sunday, we sure encourage you. Sunday shows are always so special. I wasn't going to say this because I don't want to embarrass Ken even further. We already heard the story of my Allman Brothers scenario. But honestly, this is possibly the most romantic outing I can see a couple do is this show, because it's just guitar and Ken feeling the tunes to enable us to feel. $25 for the tickets. Hey, that's nothing. And it's somebody that is locally based that we're supporting, which is wonderful. One show, 8 o'clock. KenNavarro.com has all the information. NAVARRO. Whew, that was a trip. We also heard in that set, by the way, the great that we have also in our region, Benny Russell on saxophone from his CD called Proverbs. That was a tune called Psalm. Wasn't that wonderful? Reggie Washington, George Gray Jr., Lafayette Harris Jr. were also on that track and the whole album. Benny is amazing. Writer, arranger, big band leader, teacher. When he gets folks together for a particular event, it is awesome. He is revered in this area. And actually, in other places where he has lived, for example, in the mid-90s, he chaired the jazz division at Brooklyn's Conservatory of Music and made quite a name for himself. People know about this cat from everywhere. He's going to be at the Lenox Lounge in New York City, July 14th, just so you know. And actually, more active than the website is Benny Russell's Facebook. And every single day, he makes mention of folks, other artists, that he thinks should get more recognition, which is absolutely wonderful. So thank you, Benny, for what you do, what you've done, what you will continue to do. And it's First Tuesday, everybody! And that means that we get folks to give us a shout-out to where they're going to be and make sure they know where we need to go to support them. So this is a 410 area code that I see. I'm just going to say, hello, you're live on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Who is this?
Hi, this is Charlie Sigler, guitar player.
Hi, Charlie, of course I know you. How are you?
I'm great.
I'm glad you're great. Thanks for calling. I'm just peachy. Tell us what's happening with you.
I have an organ trio gig at a spot called the French Press Cafe, also known as Bread and Circus's Bistro in Towson, on Monday, July 9th.
Wonderful. Oh, yeah. You know what? We need to acquaint ourselves more with those beautiful little places in Towson. How many does this seat, Charlie? Can you say?
Well, they have an outdoor seating area where we'll be performing with a bar. And I would
okay.
say probably something like 20 or 30.
That's cool. And who will you be playing with?
It'll be a young drummer named Aaron Siever and an organist named Jake Silverman. And we're going to have some horn players come by and sit in.
Oh, wonderful. Charlie, it's so good to talk to you. We need to talk more, and we will.
Definitely.
Okay, cool. And listen, if you ever have any music that I can get access to, I would love to hear it because, of course, one of your biggest fans is Rhonda Robinson. You know that, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she can't say enough about you. And if I know that it's going to be on Monday, what time is this now?
This is we're going to run 7 to 11.
7 through 11. Maybe if I can do what I need to do, if we have a Cool Jazz Conversations on Blog Talk Radio this Monday, I can shoot out afterwards and come see you. I'd love to be able to see you do your thing.
Sounds good.
Thank you, Charlie.
All right. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Charlie Sigler. Yay! Love to hear that folks are calling in. Let me give you that number, and it might be one of those scenarios. Look, it's July 3rd. And I just got a report a little while ago. Somebody gave me a message on Facebook that the Bay Bridge is starting to pack up. A lot of folks leaving for a couple of days worth of vacation. So please be careful on the roads, if you would. Now, if you are an artist, you are in town, you have a little place to call and let us know where you are, where you're going to be. 323-843-6172. 323-843-6172. Thank you to my friend Kim for letting me in on a little sweet secret. I'm hoping that this particular gentleman is not going to be a secret too much longer. In many circles he is known. I'm just getting to know him, and I appreciate the way he plays. He's a multi-instrumentalist, but he's gearing in on piano on his brand new Times and Travels. This is Al DeGregoris, and this is Bamboo Forest with Chris Standring on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Enjoy.
Thank you.
This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you.
actually could do a few more minutes of that. Really, that is the perfect song to hear in multiple ways the day before the 4th of July, isn't it? Originally done by William Devon. Now, if you remember the song back in the mid-70s, Spring, when it was released, about 74, it sold so many records, I couldn't even say. And that was mixed at Sigma Sound in Philly with the MFSB group in Philadelphia, Mother, Father, Sister, Brother. So you know it was a happening song. Be thankful for what you got. Now, this time around, it's from a gentleman who we normally know to play the sax exceptionally well. But a few years ago, took me by surprise when he did an appearance for the radio station, and I was just amazed that he was able to convey a song in the manner in which he does. I'm talking about Walter Beasley. Walter Beasley just sang that song, Be Thankful for What You've Got, and he knows what he's talking about, because Walter is pretty active on Facebook and always makes it a point to show appreciation and gratitude and to contemplate things and know what priorities are. So, Walter, thank you for that from his Ready for Love CD back, 2007? I think so. Let me just double-check on that and see. So many notes I have to refer to at this point. Woo! Man, it's been a happening day. Ugh, and it's going to be a happening Thursday, too, on this show. 2007. So you'll know to look that up. Matter of fact, Walter's got a really cool website, too, if you go to his Facebook, or just Beasley, BEASLEY.com. George Duke, from Reachfort so many years ago, and that is Bring It On Home. I just happened to take a look at what is happening with George. He, for the whole month of July, is at his studio recording, and then he is out on tour. He's been really, really busy this year, and he will be part of that Soul Train cruise that I alluded to in early 2013. But moreover, he will be in early August out with Al Jarreau, and then he's going to be at Wolf Trap in Virginia with Stanley Clark and Boney James. Clark Duke 4, this is? Oh, my gosh. GeorgeDuke.com has all the information. He also is very active on his Facebook page. Time is dwindling. Let us remind you once again of a couple of things. First of all, Ken Navarro's show, Sunday at Ram's Head in Annapolis, Maryland. You can go, if you want to ramsheadtavern.com and find out more. We were talking about Pat Metheny. Pat's got his tour coming to Ram's Head, I think, in September. I'm not sure if Ken knows about that, but I'll let him know on Sunday. I'd be happy to see you on Sunday if you were able to come to the show and partake of some really excellent company. There's going to be so many loving people there. It will be like a little Woodstock because people who come to see Ken Navarro, especially under these circumstances with this much intimacy going on where we can just channel into him one-to-one on that guitar, it's going to be awesome. $25 for tickets. KenNavarro.com has more info. I have to make sure you are aware of this, first of all, these Kickstarter campaigns. Got a couple of folks who need to make use of your efforts, please. UB Live. You heard us have Troy and Gail and Craig talking about this big project, EUBIE, as in UB Blake. UB Live on Kickstarter.com. We only have from now to the 11th to raise a certain amount of money. If we don't, all that money goes back to the people who were paying out to have this dream come true. For children who are making use of the jazz programs at the UB Blake National Institute and Cultural Center in Baltimore. It is a beautiful place. Second Wednesday of every month, there is a superior jazz jam session where folks are only allowed to do the standards. And all the kids who make use of this cultural center get to hear jazz the way they heard it. Well, they didn't hear it get played back in the day, but this was the way that these jazz cats sounded back when. Baltimore is such a thriving town for the genre, and if you contribute to UB Live, you'll be helping kids get a head start, kids who normally couldn't pay the fees to go, but summer programs are so essential. Taking music out of schools is not a good idea. I know that if this president of the United States had his way, he would never allow this. But in certain kinds of ways, his hands are tied. We're all feeling the crunch. But let us do what we can do so that kids can learn what real great music is all about. Also with a Kickstarter campaign is Slim Man. Make sure you go to slimman.com and learn about that. I know that our wonderful friend Griselda told us that there is Griselda, give me the name of that place again if you would in the chat room. Slim Man is coming to San Antonio coming up very soon. He's got the complete roster there, and he's got so much going on with him. He is also coming to Ram's Head. Not going to miss this for love or money. So I know that Griselda will tell me, but I was asking her for the pronunciation of where he's going to be, but she'll tell me and I'll let you know. I wanted to close the show with this because I don't want to leave you with something sad. I really don't, but we just played Be Thankful for What You Got. And Mitch Winehouse, Amy Winehouse's dad, has a new book out, and he's talking about Amy. Mitch is a beautiful human being. To be able to recall his daughter in the ways that he is and not lose his mind, because Amy Winehouse was on her way to getting healthy, and is so often the case, sometimes the damage done is so severe that you just don't know. So bless her heart. She is not here to hear the exquisite artistry involved in this final product, but let me tell you something. Man, oh, I won't cry. And before we get to the song and what Tony Bennett said about the song and about Amy, I'm going to get to our friend Griselda. Griselda Medina!
Hi!
Hi,
sorry, my computer screen froze. And I couldn't get, I was like, come on, I'm trying to get to the chat room.
Oh.
So it's still frozen. So I was like, let me call her and let her know.
Oh, it's thank Balcone's, you so much.
Yes, Balcones Heights Jazz Festival in San Antonio.
Okay, now that's in San Antonio. Do you have you ever been there?
Yes, I have.
Does that hold a lot of people?
Yes, it does. It's an outside, it's an outdoor venue.
Oh,
and it's at a
cool
mall, and it's where the reflecting pool is, and they have like this little knoll, a little, you know, grassy area and stuff, so people can bring their lawn chairs and blankets. There's no ice coolers or anything allowed because they have food and drink vendors all over the place.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. So it's an outside venue, so there's a lot of people that can be fit in there. So it's a really cool place, except when it gets really hot. So,
well,
yeah, it's
look,
a really cool place to have a show.
You know, Pete Gitlin called earlier. It's hot in Arizona. It's hot in Texas. Kim was with us for a while. It's hot in South Carolina. It's hot in Maryland, D.C., Virginia. Forget it. I mean... everywhere
like
you go,
everywhere.
You know, unless you want to go to Antarctica.
No.
No, we don't want to do that.
I don't want to freeze, thank you.
Right. So what did you say was happening in Texas? What were the temperatures like?
They've been between like 103 and 106 in some areas, but the heat index has been like 116.
Oh, man.
Yeah, for this week so far, we've had a break. It's only been like 95, and that's a break. And that's saying a lot right there.
But you know what? Thank God
Yeah.
You have your power
so,
on. Thank God.
Oh, no kidding. It's like we were. I was talking in the chat room, and Yolanda said, well, that because she has asthma. I said, well, yeah, I have respiratory problems too. When it gets that hot, it's hard for me to breathe. So that's why I'm not. you know, it's like I love going to these jazz festivals that are outside, but when they're that hot to where I can't go inside somewhere and cool off, it's really, really bad. So I was like, oh, my gosh.
And this is a perfect opportunity to say this. I was talking to my friend Gar yesterday, and Gar mm-hmm. is just a lovely man, and he's got great friends. He was telling me about a guy he knows who has friends in a nursing home, and this is something for us all because we were talking about it takes a village. We need to get back to the village where we're taking care of one another again.
Exactly.
This friend of Gar's goes to the nursing home. He has done this especially in light of the fact that one of his special friends is a 90-year-old lady, and he takes ice over there and rubs her legs and her arms with ice so that she can get her circulation going because they don't have power.
Aw, that's so sweet.
It is so sweet. And you know, we don't even think about the elders that we have. Our seniors really
mm-hmm.
need people to step up to the plate. The babies
yeah.
hopefully are taken care of, but seniors get lost in the shuffle. So we really need to make it, you know, an effort to see if maybe we can volunteer services because, you know, you can imagine that staffers are tearing their hair out. What are they going to do with these older folks?
Many.
You know, so many. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. And they're always understaffed anyways.
That's right. That's right. So
they're always understaffed.
That was a beautiful thing for Gar to share. And, man, it just maybe we'll put a bug in our ears to see what we can do to make life
yeah,
a little bit more bearable. And
mm-hmm.
folks who don't have power, if you have room in your house, and you do, you know, it's not an inconvenience because, look, it'll be fun. Think of it as an extended pajama party. It's only going to be for a few more days while their power gets back on, you know?
Right, exactly.
So.
Yeah, because when Joy was mentioning that yesterday on Cool Jazz Conversation as well,
yeah.
That when she was talking about her mom and her grandmother, that
yeah.
if nobody was home at your house, you could still go over to the next door neighbors because it was fine. You know, it was like a family.
Yeah,
so,
and even
yeah.
if you just share a generator, that's going to be a big
mm-hmm.
thing.
Yes,
so.
Exactly. Exactly.
Thank you for your information. I definitely want to play this Tony Bennett and Amy Winehouse song, Body
oh, yeah.
and Soul.
Yeah, that's a great song. Great
because,
song.
Griselda, do you know that the anniversary of her passing is on the 23rd of July?
No way. Really?
Yes. That'll be a year.
Wow. A year already. My gosh, how time has flown.
I know. So we have to play it because in light of be thankful for what you got, we got to remember we
mm-hmm.
do not have tomorrow promise, so we got to make sure we do what we can today.
Exactly. Exactly.
And thank you for the information about Slim Man, babe.
You're welcome.
And
you're
have
so
a great 4th of July.
Well, you too. You and T, be safe and have fun.
We will. We're going to really lay low, honestly, because the cats will freak out with the fireworks.
Oh, I bet they will. They will, poor kitty.
Look, I wouldn't be surprised if our cats are Rufus and Chaka Khan. I wouldn't be surprised if I hear Tell Me Something Good screamed in the house. Oh, my God.
The thing is that you just said, when you were saying it, I was thinking it, too.
Oh, my Lord. All right, Griselda, I love you.
All right, hon. Love you, too. Talk to you later.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. This is it. Tony Bennett, Amy Winehouse from Duets to Body and Soul on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
My heart is sad and lonely. For you I sigh, for you, dear, only. Why haven't you seen it? I'm all for you, body and soul.
I spend my days ever hungering and wondering why it's you.
I can't believe it. It's hard to conceive it that you turn away romance. Oh.
Are you pretending? Hello?
My life a wreck you're making.
You know I'm yours, but just a second.
I can't be sure. Looks like the ending, unless I can have one more chance to prove, dear.
My life a wreck you're making.
You know I'm yours, but just the taking.
I'd gladly surrender.
Bennett says about Amy Winehouse, he misses her more than ever, the most affecting performer he ever witnessed. Whew, man, from duets to Amy and Tony, a year on the 23rd. Enjoy this day. Be careful. Be safe for the 4th. We'll see you on Thursday with Carl Filippiak on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thanks to everybody who joined us today. Love you dearly. God bless. Happy 4th of July.